Welcome back to Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. Your host Chris, Ro, and Brandon here, and we're here. Well, they're here. I'm just here to facilitate to review Dumbo, a young elephant who's. Over. I'm not gonna read this shit. Everybody knows what the fuck Dumbo is. It's directed by Tim Burton, which interesting choice there.
Is it? Is it an interesting choice?
I'm saying interesting because when I realized it was Tim Burton, it was like, how weird is this movie gonna be?
It's not actually that weird.
Oh.
To be, it's not.
Oh. Brandon sounds enthused, so I'm gonna go with Brandon first. What do you think of this movie, man?
And before I get into this, I'm preluded. I watched the original Dumbo today at work just to make sure that I have a background on this. And this new version by Disney is cute. And the CGI for Dumbo flying is fine. It's a lot more flying. But this shit ain't got no ecology. Like, I'm sorry. It just is, it feels disjointed. Is the story is very, it's like very meh. They wasted talent here. And I say that loosely because I feel like they really just had no use at all for Colin Farrell. He just is here because he has a 7-album rap deal with Disney, and he's got to make these appearances in these films at this point because they, you know, sending him checks. And I think the biggest letdown for me with this film was Tandy Newton's daughter. I don't care about these kids at all in this movie. They're just here. And that disconnect really just made the story drag out. The moments in it are like wondrous and beautiful. It does a really good job, but you gotta wade through some stuff to get to those moments. And I'm not sure those parts of the films are very interesting. Between the disconnect that I felt for Tandy Newton's daughter, who reminded me a lot of the girl from the Nutcracker. Not with her acting, but more with what Disney gave her to do in this film and how much they care to explain by showing it to us versus just having her say things and not actually do them. And I don't know what the actress's name is, but the woman from Fleabag, I felt like they wasted her as well because I thought there was more interesting story there with her and what was going on and the way they kind of present her and the way she ends up in the end of the film. I thought they wasted a nice little story there with her too. So, yeah, I don't think it's a bad film, but I think where the critic rating is sitting right now on Rotten Tomatoes is absolutely justified. Disney kind of took a leap of faith with this, and I don't know if they actually cared about that 1-2 step before they jumped off with it. They seem to be letting Dumbo just kind of hang out there right now and see if he lands on his feet. I think fans will be fine, but for me, it's definitely not something I need to watch again.
What's his credit rating right now? I didn't look.
Like a 52% or 54 out of like 150 or 125 ratings. It's like 70 dislike and like 86 like. So that's where it's at right now. When I checked earlier today.
Yep, you're right. Still there. For me, I don't disagree with V at all. I don't necessarily feel like the movie was as disjointed as some people do, but I think that's because I was looking at different things and I cared about different things than people going into this movie. Because I really was like, okay, what's the storyline with the elephant? And everybody else around the elephant was kind of secondary. So I do agree that they didn't really do a good job of building the family unit, which is supposed to be Colin Farrell as Hope, you know, the former star of this circus who went away to the war and came back, and his two kids, Millie and Joe. And I know that they were trying to go for that 1919 post-war stoicism outcast kind of vibe, and I thought the look was perfect. I thought the costuming was great. They kind of did some muddy colors, but that's Tim Burton. But I didn't have any problems with what he made it look like in the visuals and like with the dark and dreary moments, although sometimes he shadowed shit for no reason, and that always annoys me in his movies. But when it came to building this family unit and the disconnect, I really felt like he wasted people, but two, I think he also wasted an opportunity to build something that would have mattered. And one of the things that Disney does is when they have a family that you're supposed to care about, you actually care about at least one of them. And they had all these different opportunities and they pissed every last one of them away. And I don't know why. Okay, yeah, I know why. I think Tim Burton has some issues with actually connecting to regular human emotions that he doesn't twist to take mm-hmm. to a weird mm-hmm. place, because I think he feels that's where all the dark and twisty is supposed to be. And if he can't figure out how to twist it, then he phones it in. I really did like the story that they built for Dumbo and Jumbo. It is vastly not what people are going to remember from the animated one in a way that it's going to be exact. But it is going to give you that nostalgic moment. Danny Elfman's score is great. Mm-hmm. It pulls in all of the things that you're going to remember from the animated one without some of the negative associations to them, in a way that allows you to still have those moments and build those moments. I really felt like Ava Green's character, Colette, is the only one that really truly had a real backstory here that we got any of the development on. But they waited so late into the movie to introduce her. There was no way that they could use her as like a connective thread to really build back in around with Colin Farrell and, you know, Holt and Millie and Joe. And that's another wasted opportunity that they really could have done something. This is not a remake. It's a reimagining. So if you're going in thinking that you're going to get the exact same storyline from the animated one, disabuse yourself of that notion right now. And a big part of that has to do with Michael Keaton's character and Danny DeVito's character. In the animated one, all of those personality traits exist in one person.
Mm-hmm.
And they've split them between two here. Did you feel like it made Michael Keaton feel like he was too much of a caricature and Danny DeVito's character feel like he was disingenuous at all the wrong times?
So with Danny DeVito's character, I kind of saw what they were going to establish him to be. In the opening, it made it seem like he was villainous, but I quickly lost that illusion when I saw him interact with Holt later on. So I more felt like I definitely got this is a guy who cares about the circus family and he's making a bad decision based on a promise from a terrible person, right? He just doesn't, he should know better, but he doesn't. Michael Keaton is at this point where they put him in stuff to say Michael Keaton's in it. And I think they just give him a character's name and say, create something out of this. You will be playing V.A. Vandeveer. And he's like, sounds like this. And he just starts doing it. And there's no actual character model that he can go off. Because Vandeveer in this is all over the fucking place. Like, I'm like, I know he's evil, but I am absolutely confused at not simply his intentions, but how far developed of a powerful villain he really is. And then they introduce Alan Arkin, who I think would have been a better choice for the ultimate villain in this film, because the character that he plays is, you know, actually like a backer person. And Alan Arkin, I think, sometimes is just doesn't necessarily get the attention of the roles he deserves in films, because he is very well versed in like emotional displays, and he can play a good and an evil character at the same time. And I didn't feel like Michael Keaton delivered on that, which is what they tried to get him to do in the beginning. Oh, I care about people and I care about these animals. There's absolutely no point in this film where you are listening to Michael Keaton talk and you think he cares about any fucking body.
That I blame on Tim Burton. He has this thing about what he thinks is supposed to be villainous. And he likes to do he likes his villains to have a driving reason for why their thought processes work the way it does. And I agree with you. I really feel like the second fail when it comes to story dynamic, where they wasted an opportunity to where they could have done something really amazing. And if they were going to go dark and twisty, which they do. So for those of you who are thinking of taking your kids who are under the age of 7, don't do it. He could have gone down a dark and twisted way that really would have worked if he had played better into the Keaton, Allen, DeVito triad there, the triangle that he built there, but they were all so unbalanced. But a part of it is what I feel is like Michael Keaton's character is supposed to be the greedy, you know, evil, callous aspects of the original character from the animated version. And then he's supposed to be a little bit of what is his name?
Which one?
Vanderveer? Hold on. Yeah, Vanderveer. He's supposed to be a little bit of also they made it the Greatest Showman. The guy that's about, why am I forgetting his name? P.T. Barnum. Jesus Christ. He's supposed to be a little bit of P.T. Barnum. He's supposed to be a little bit of the guy who established Coney Island because he was, you know, said to be schmarmy and a user and batshit crazy. So I feel like, you know, he had a character model, but he didn't have enough because you have this idea that there's a reason why he's making the dumbass decisions he's made. Because once he has what he wants for his big, huge idea, once he has Danny DeVito like on his hook and all of those things, it's just a steady succession of dumbass ideas and dumbass decisions. Like, you know, and not just in the way that you think, like, you know, you have Colin Farrell's character who suddenly doesn't know how to talk to his children. And they did the Disney thing of, you know, mama's dead. And no, that's not a spoiler, but, you know, and then they just went down that path, but they don't really build that up. But they also have this thing where he starts intimating that there's a reason why Vanderveer responds to one, children, two, and why he manipulates people the way that he does. And he starts to hint at that story and that backstory, again, doing it too late in the movie for it to really give you, for you to really get the full effect of it. And then three, he never really goes any elsewhere with it. So you're like, okay, so you've done that thing. And now I'm just going to watch you make stupid decision after stupid decision after stupid decision, because you guys realize that it's toward the end of the second act, going into the third act and the climax in the movie. And now you've got to move to the, you know, what's the thing that where everybody's got to be. And it becomes a matter of just moving all the pieces to get them into the place where they have to be for the big, huge, you know, show at the end. And I felt at that they were rushing things and we were getting skipped out. So it's not so much for me that it felt like it was disjointed. It's just like every single time that we got to a point where they really should have been spending a little time, they didn't. And then we got these other drawn out moments where it was obvious what they were going for and we didn't need the 20 minutes they gave it. And so that really was annoying to me.
I hear what you're saying, but like as I go through these characters and I go over the story, the biggest issue for me with Dumbo is that it's doing too much. It's just doing too damn much, especially in comparison to the 1941 film. The 1941 film is an hour long. This film is 112 minutes. Mm-hmm. The 1941 cartoon is a very basic cartoon from that era. It's not anything really deep. You can tell they were on acid for some parts of it, which I want to make sure that I express. I thought what they did with that in this film was genius. The whole bubble shit to recreate the acid cartoon trip
from Man,
was dope.
It was fantastic. It had me bobbing my damn head along with that little damn elephant,
which was cute. I like the thing that the cinematographer, who is Ben Davis or whoever's decision this was to actually use Dumbo's pupils to do reflections of what he was looking at and then feed that back out to the audience. So we see what he's seeing through his eyes. Literally, we see the reflection of it. I thought those scenes were dope too, because the CGI for the animal Dumbo was great. I think with this film, though, this is another case of we're going to replace characters from a cartoon that were originally animals with human beings. And we're going to give these human beings these stories to try to develop these characters and to develop these faux feelings and these faux connections. And it just doesn't work because I think that for me, the disjointedness is that people just randomly do things without any story to help us, to guide us along to how they got there. Again, I think Evergreen is one of the most noticeable figures in this film and one of the ones you connect to easily.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where the transitioning of her character started when she went from kind of just uppity to I'm very friendly and I love kids and I love Dumbo, right? The connection that she makes with Dumbo is never really established unless I'm supposed to get that from her wow factor of actually seeing him fly.
Which yeah, is that's kind of how I felt like the moments where we should have gotten more. Like, you know, we needed more of that. There should have been at least one more scene of them practicing before we got the big, you know, the big turn to them being under the big top.
What I don't understand. Why didn't they have more, you know, why did not they have more scenes with Dumbo? Why didn't they just have more scenes with Dumbo and cut down on the casting of
humans? It's a Transformer problem. It's a Transformer problem.
But why is Disney doing this?
It's Tim Burton. It's the same problem that what you were saying when we were talking about the Transformer movies. Like, we all would have been great if they had just stayed at the beginning of what it looked like at the beginning of Bumblebee. We were all in what it looked and it was great. But then they turned around and they started paying attention to the humans. Like, this movie is about Dumbo. And the story that worked for me was about Dumbo and his mom. And the aspects of everything that worked that I really loved and I enjoyed were the interactions between all the people with the Dumbo, because that's when people remember to emote. But Tim Burton tried to force these human connections among the humans, and none of those connections work properly. That's why I'm saying, for me, it wasn't that it was disjointed. It's like he spent too much time on the wrong connections, like you were saying. Yeah. And so you know, we don't get the moment between Holt, a.k.a. Colin Farrell's character, when he turns the page with respect to Dumbo. We don't get the moment, but there's this whole story with respect to him that starts to develop, and you start to think, okay, he's going to be our connection to the humans. And then they drop it. And then you get the story with the daughter, and it starts to develop, and you're like, okay, she's going to be our connection to the humans. And they had this great moment at the beginning between her and the mouse, which is really an iconic character from the animated movie. So I was glad that they found a way to work that in. But then Tim Burton wasted and she doesn't turn into being the connection. And you can go to each person. But he saved enough of the connective to the humans, to Dumbo, with Ava Green, for her to be the one that you connect with and the one that you have a touchstone with. But then he didn't use her to pull everything that he had built around with the rest of the humans. So you've got all this stuff that doesn't work, and it's all the two-legged people. I mean, every single time that I just paid attention to this for Dumbo, I was happy.
That's what this, and I think I wish I could have like recorded and made a supercut of Ashley's facial reactions while watching this movie. Ashley has not been feeling good this week, and we went to see Dumbo. So Ashley already was in this, like, I don't really want to be here mode. Like, I want to see Dumbo, but I also just don't want to have to watch anything. I'm tired. I'm not feeling well, etc. So she's all curled up next to me. She's got a hoodie on. She doesn't really give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And when Dumbo would be on screen, she's like, oh my God, he's so cute. When he interacted with the mother, oh my God, Brandon, look at him. When he flies, I could see her turn into like 6-year-old Ashley. I could absolutely, she's on the edge of her seat. She's leaning forward. She's looking at me. She's like, it looks amazing. And then they go back to the humans and she's back curled up in the corner, like falling asleep. And that's how it was for her the whole film. So when we finally left, she was like, I didn't really like it. But I have proof she did like certain scenes. I was watching her. This movie doesn't know what to do. He needed to cut down his cast. He could have had it to where the circus, the Medici Brothers circus starts off, and then maybe Alan Arkin's character steps in and forces Danny DeVito to expand his family into this bigger foray for a larger audience, and there's trouble there. But Holt is trying to train this animal and he develops an actual connection. The story they seem to be going with, and he actually develops a connection, and he develops that connection through Eva Green, who comes in from somewhere training. I think that's the story that they thought they wrote. But I think that they wrote so many characters in that all of a sudden that story falls into a bunch of moments. Like, there's not even a story that shows how the original Medici Circus members connect with Dumbo. They just all of a sudden are like, yeah, we came to see they're like, we all came to see Dumbo before so-and-so happens. And I was like, but y'all didn't care really at any other point in this film. So why now is this such a family, supposed to be a family moment? And was I supposed to get that from y'all? Because I didn't get that from y'all.
And that's why I feel like it was for the first time, that was the incorrect use of flashbacks by Burton. I usually feel like that's where he can make up certain things where you get those connective threads, like in Edward Scissorhands, when you got the flashbacks to his hands and why he doesn't have them with Vincent Price. Mm-hmm. Here, they did all of the development from Dumbo's birth, post-birth, to the moment where they introduced Vandeveer's character. All of that was done in snippets and flashback vignettes, like, you know, in the clouds type thing. And that's where we should have been getting it, because that's where the story that is the original story that people are used to from Dumbo exists. And I get that he didn't want to tell that story because he didn't want to redo the animated version, but he left too much of it in the margins. Like, I like this movie. But what I liked about it, like we said, was Dumbo. There were moments with the humans that I really, really enjoyed, but every single time that I started to really invest, he turned the page. I didn't feel like he had too many people. I just felt like the theory that you just put forward for how he could have used Alan Arkin's character. I think that if he had used that as the point of entry for the changeover in the story, would have put together Michael Keaton's character and Danny DeVito's character and those two story arcs in a way that would have been amazing. So clearly what should have happened is your black ass should have been around somewhere so you could point out to someone that they're wasting him. But I'm just saying, having seen the movie, and I really feel like once people see the movie and they see what his character is, that if he had been the one to approach Danny DeVito and say he was bringing him in and the person he took him to was Michael Keaton's character, you would have had that. You would have had the conflict. You would have had the appropriate friction between that triangle that you needed. And then we would have already previously had the development of the family unit and how they started to fix themselves. We would have gotten to see it because we wouldn't have gotten all of that in flashback. So if those had been Act 1 and the beginning of Act 2 and they had come together, I think it would have worked with the rest of Act 3 through the end and we wouldn't have felt like it was rushed. So for me, I just felt like he took too long on the parts of the movie where I got the point, and he wasted the moments where he truly would have been able to give us the emotional moments. And this is kind of how I felt when it came to his Willy Wonka. He wanted to do more of the stuff that came from the book, the backstory Willy Wonka and how he got that way. And he waited too long to do it. And then he didn't have what he needed to act on it. So I was like, well, no one's going to care now. And I really felt like at a lot of points you got to something like, well, no one's going to care now. And then I was like, okay, well, no one's going to care about that now. And so it made the caricatures that he likes to make for villains and archetype characters not work, because it made the decisions they were making so grossly stupid. It kept pulling you out of the story at every single point in time. You can look and say, if you would just listen to that dude right there, you're going to get everything that you want. But and he just was trying to drive home this, that he's so arrogant and you know, convinced that his way was the only way, that he couldn't hear anything else. You're like, yeah, that doesn't work. It doesn't work.
I tried. And this film kind of tricks you into thinking that it's figured itself out. The first moment that Dumbo flies, because it's a weird development of characters. And so you get up to that point, you're trying to really establish everybody's role. And I mean, the first thing that had my attention was how much they were trying to push off Tandy Newton's daughter as this little adorable white girl. And I was like, that is a black girl through and through. I don't know anybody who could not look at that girl's skin and her essential facial features and not tell that is a little girl of color. But we'll go with this, and we'll I mean, it will go with this, and we'll also go with the fact that she, this robotic kind of tone and delivery. I do science. I'm a science experimenter, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Where are your science experiments at? And there's none, and there's no point in where you see her working on anything, trying to contrive or put together any type of science experiment. She just kept saying it, and that shit annoyed me. But you get to the moment with her and the kid where Dumbo flies, and I'm like, okay, one, this is a funny scene. Two, this is an endearing scene. Three, this is a scene that gives me hope for the rest of the film that they figured themselves out up to this. This point is where they figured out what they needed to do the rest of the film. And then that scene goes away, and it goes back to the adults, and the adults not understanding the significance of Dumbo just as much as this film seems to not understand the significance of Dumbo. And I was like, really? Like, y'all, like, when y'all shot that scene, it didn't click that this is what you need to do, that you need to develop relationships with this animal and not necessarily relationships between these people because they're not that important. You need to show the world more through Dumbo's eyes because, again, those are the better scenes. People want to see the animal. Well, and my other thing was this also took me out of the film. I don't know if you... When was the last time any of y'all seen the second Gremlins film?
Recently, actually. Maybe within
like a year or two. Yeah, me too. I'm obsessed with Gremlins.
So tell me, Ro, when Dumbo flies off into the distance, did that shit not remind you of the gremlin that grew and took off like a gargoyle and becomes a statue?
Sure did.
That shit looked awful. Like, when they put the camera up close, it looks great. But when it's fucking far distance, it literally looked like somebody was using, like, a tablet and what is the pen that you use with the tablets to draw? I can't think of what it's called. But they had a stylus, and they tapped Dumbo with it, and they slid him across the air with it on a tablet.
And that's where I started to feel like the special effects for the rest of the movie didn't match the visual. But I also felt it's because he leaned too heavy in that, you know, that muddy light and color palette that he likes, and it made everything that you put against it not look like it was integrated into it. So I completely agree on that tip. But yeah, it did remind me of that at that one moment. I was like, really? That's what we're doing?
Well, let me say this. Chris? That's kind of why I didn't want to go. Like, I was gonna go to the screener. I actually had mine, I think, before both of you all. It was on Monday at 2.
You did have it on Monday.
I had it on Monday at 2. And
mine was Monday at 1.
Yeah, I had some stuff to do at work, and I had a choice. I was like, I could either stay and do some stuff at work, or I could go to the screener. But I was like, I don't really care about this film, mainly because the trailers did nothing for me. It seemed like everything you guys are complaining about, it's like, well, that's why I didn't go. That's exactly what I got the feeling from the trailer for. It felt like you do a film called Dumbo, but you don't focus on Dumbo. How do you, like, I could feel it, that it was going to be all these other, the humans, and I'm like, that's not going to work. And I, to be perfectly honest, I never understood, and it sounds like this concept could have worked, but I was already kind of iffy on if they could do a concept like Dumbo anyway. And I don't know what it is. We've seen films that. Did any of the animal characters talk?
Hell no.
No.
Well, that's the thing that gets me too. So, I think that's why. What was it? Jungle Book worked.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's what I was going to say. I feel like if your exact point, Tim Burton, when he thinks live action, he thinks people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Always. He always thinks people. And then to our detriment, and he has a very short list of people he then thinks of. And like, I didn't need Dumbo to talk. He was damn adorable from the beginning, and it was cute and it was engaging.
That's a selling point in the cartoon. My bad. That's a selling, just to interject real quick. That's a selling point of the cartoon. You're right. Dumbo doesn't need to talk. But other animals around him could.
But it's still focused on him, right? You still get, like, there's a way to, you don't need the animals to, because if you think about it, And it kills me that in 2019 we're still doing this, because forget inside of Disney that they've done this before with the Jungle Book, and they seem like they're about to do it again with Lion King, right? Planet of the Apes, like at one point only one of those apes could talk, but yeah. They had so much all the others had so much personality, and so you can focus on non-human characters and still feel like you're getting a complete story. But I feel
Tim Burton
like
can't.
But I don't think it's just him. There's other directors that also can't do it, and so they feel like they have to do everything through the eyes of the humans. Like you brought the fact that that's been the thing about the Transformers films since the beginning. People kept saying, "Oh, well, they have to do the humans because you can't just have a film with giant robots," and it just wouldn't. Like, that's bullshit. That's complete, utter bullshit. You absolutely can. And we know you can do it. You don't have to spend that much money because, again, we've done, three, four movies of just talking fucking apes, doing all kinds of crazy shit. So you can definitely, we did the Jungle Book. You know, you did have a human character there, but it was like you had a human character surrounded by all these other animals that were CG that had personality. And they took the personality of the voice actors. Like, you can do this if you actually want to,
but none of the animals in this have personality. They're real animals except the mother. Mrs. Jumbo and Dumbo seem to be the only ones with a brain big enough to have personality. The rest of the animals are just animals, and that's what I meant when I said they replaced the animals from the original with humans.
Yeah, they put them in a human circus, basically. This is you know, and that's where I get, this is why I blame Tim Burton. I recognize and acknowledge that other directors have this problem, but specific to this, I think Tim Burton's version of this movie could have worked, but for his inability to properly have faith in anthropomorphizing animals. So where we could have had the strongman character in somebody from the animated, and they could have carried that forward into someone here, he put a person. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna be a little angry on that tip that they went very stereotypical of the person who they put there. Now, thankfully,
angry big black dude who
the
just
actor didn't suck.
Angry big one word black dude who groans a lot and grunts literally like a gorilla.
No,
until the end.
Yeah, but thankfully the actor kept that from just being a stereotype. But he leaned real hard into that whole carny circus freak show aspect of it. And that's why I was like, okay, but if you're going to do that, I need more of Dumbo. I need more of what you were doing right with Dumbo. Or you needed to carry forward more of the themes and give me more animals to talk. I mean, that monkey that was messing up Danny DeVito's
another hilarious character they did not capitalize long enough on in the film.
Yeah, and I was like, clearly you have an idea that you can make these intelligent animals and you can make them work and you can make them essential to the story. And that's why I was like, you know, I didn't dislike this movie. I think kids are going to get enough out of this movie to where they're going to like it. But I think as the kids get older, or okay, maybe not necessarily older, there's going to be a lot of resentfulness to a certain age group of children who know good and darn well you didn't give them enough of the animals that were smart doing the animal smart things in an animal movie, because they're like, Dumbo is supposed to be an animal movie, where why are all these people here doing things that animals be doing? And I agree with you, but I blame Tim Burton because he couldn't stay true to the vision that he built for Dumbo without humans. And I don't know if it was because he didn't want to invest in them, or if he, because of the list of people who he has outside of maybe Ava Green and Nico and Danny DeVito. I don't believe that the people he cast would have been the correct voice actors. And I think that's why we ended up with so many people in the movie speaking rather than animals with human voices. I don't believe they would have been the right cast, and how he feels about his cast.
I gotta defend Burton here for a second. Oh God, this hurts. I think I'm developing a blood clot from this one. Okay. So the person who wrote the script was Uren Krueger. And Uren Krueger, in the first sentence of his Wikipedia, has wrote for Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, Dark of the Moon, Age of Extinction. So I can't blame Tim Burton for this completely.
I can.
Because this man comes from films that refuse not to write in human characters with poorly developed stories. So this is pattern.
So what you're saying is our Transformer problem is specifically Uren Krueger's fault, and that's why that was our point of reference for Dumbo?
Yeah. This guy wrote this film, and he comes from the Transformers franchise, multiple films within the franchise. Some of it's worse. Yeah.
But Tim Burton could have overruled that.
No, Tim Burton is a flaky person when it comes to directing and producing products. He has great films. He is the Adam Sandler of directing and producing films, okay? He can either have a really good film, or he can have a what in the entire unthoughtful fuck is this fantastically unfantastic shit.
But I think that if he had come to this from the angle that they were going to be using animals, even with the story written by Krueger, the flaws in the story for the screenplay would have jumped out as soon as they were doing the drawings, because the artist would have told on them. But the other thing is, I really, truly, honestly think he would have been having to look at different people to cast for these roles. And I think maybe the reason why he had his fail here is because he didn't want to push back because of who he wanted to cast.
Yeah. I don't know what everybody's, I get it. Colin Farrell does an accent on cue whenever you need him to, but like, did you really need him here? Like, Holt's story just is very basic. And because it's underdeveloped, it's just dry ass basic.
I feel like it's on the floor of a cutting room somewhere that they did, in fact, actually do the big, huge, you know, star of the circus comes home, maybe a war hero, definitely saw action kind of thing. I really feel like that's another thing that fell by the wayside that we didn't get. But I think the whole stoic, I don't really know how to relate to my children. I have this face that, like, you know, I'm about to emote, but then I'm not gonna actually emote, so you're gonna get like half of feeling on my face. I think all of that would have worked. I think that I don't know, with the directions that he clearly got for how they wanted this character, if that, and I'm still hung up on the fact that he would have cast these people differently if all he would have been giving us was their voice, because I don't know whether or not, because the fail for me for Colin Farrell was there was a disconnect between what he was doing with his face and what he was doing with his body and his voice. I feel like if we hadn't had to look at Michael Keaton and maybe he had been an animal, it would have worked. If we had not been looking at Danny DeVito, his Max Medici, still would have worked. Ava Green Collette as an animal still would have worked. Alan Arkin as a human definitely would have worked, but as an animal, absolutely would have been great. So I think it would have worked if he had not been hung up on there being so many humans in this movie about Dumbo. But because he did those parts right.
Yeah. Also, the one upper on disabilities in this, because I don't know if they, I know in the original, Dumbo's ears are kind of seen as a handicap thing, but they really aren't. People just don't understand his capabilities. In this one, they look at his ears again and they treat him like a freak, an F-R-E-A-K. I've seen a horse fly. I've seen a house fly. I've seen a dragon fly. I've never seen an elephant fly.
Can we talk about how they translated that into this movie and whether or not you like it?
I actually like that part. I actually like that they brought in, I can never remember that family's name, but the, you know, let's get ready to rumble, family, to do the announcement for that. I thought was actually funny as hell. But the handicap thing kind of bothers me now that I'm thinking about it too. Because
wait, you're talking about Michael Buffer? No, they brought Michael Buffer into this film.
Michael Buffer in this movie, and it's great. Michael Buffer is in this movie, and it is fantastic.
It's really good. They didn't need to make Colin Farrell's character handicapped again, because this was not a story that they were going to develop.
It wasn't about making him handicapped. It was about him coming home from the war and not being able to go back to the life that he had before because of a war injury.
But he couldn't go back anyway because Danny DeVito sold the horses. So,
but that's my point. It was about that he was trying to have there be a reason for there to be a continuation of the artificial disconnect between him and his kids. But that he was all about trying to recapture his glory and prove that he was still the guy. So he, like, even when you get into the movie, I don't want to spoil, he's undeterred by what Danny DeVito does out of greed and an effort to, you know, make ends meet and all of the things that you have to do at 1919. Those were all the 1919 elements that he spent too much damn time on if he wasn't going to go somewhere with them that we didn't need. But it wasn't about necessarily just making him just having a handicap. It was about he fed into the standard image of what they have people coming home different after the war.
It was lazy. Exactly. It's lazy. It's lazy. If his story is Amigo's character, it's the Quavo. Okay.
I'm so mad at you right now. I can't breathe.
As war story. And I could not get into that shit. And it was unnecessary because they were supposed to show him overcoming this handicap, but he never does. And because of it, I can't tell if he actually likes his kids, despite of how their interaction is when they first see each other.
I don't think it was about, I think that was where you were supposed to get the connection between Holt and Dumbo. Dumbo has this thing that people look at him and they point and they jeer and they're like, oh my God, what is that? And then people who were coming home after the war, and you actually have to maybe, you know, they implied this more than told it to us. They gave us that one moment in there between Danny DeVito and Colin Farrell's character that's supposed to give you all of this, but they leaned way too heavy on this one scene. But when people were coming home after the war and they had lost limbs and they had shell shock, they were committing them. They weren't being allowed to reintegrate into society. After the, in 1919 and 1918, 1920, people were coming home. They were completely shuffled away from the public eye, and they weren't allowed to, a lot of them couldn't go back to get their jobs back anymore. They just weren't allowed there at all. So he was playing off all of those things, but you have to know that for it to work.
Yeah. The film is a kid's film. They have to establish that connection. And I don't think they did. I don't think they
established not at all
the connection between Holt and Dumbo. Like, oh, they're treating him like a freak. They're treating me like a freak too. I just didn't get it.
He just came across as a prick.
Yeah, he did. I'm supposed to be empathetic for it too. But once he started acting like that, I was like, why is he such a cocky jackass? Like, I definitely don't have any empathy for him. And I also find it hard to believe that Colin Farrell is mourning his wife. And this is the same Colin Farrell that was in Saving Mr. Banks, where he, in my opinion, did an amazing job as the broken father who was trying to be a good father, but suffered from alcoholism. Like, I just didn't get that here at all. And I don't necessarily think it's his fault. I think it's the script. I think it's a script and a direction is the biggest, this film's biggest villain is the script and a direction.
Yeah. There's not enough there. There was too much implied. Like you said, it's a kid's movie. And that's the thing. The parts that a lot of people are complaining about for Dumbo are so super focused on the humans that they're angry about the wrong things for me, because this is the movie is a kid's movie and the movie is about Dumbo. And I liked all of those elements and all of those things worked, which is probably why for me, if you're going to have this many humans, I keep putting it down to a direction fail, because Tim Burton could have fixed this behind the camera and he didn't. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to talking about the story and the script, I think this script and this story could have worked if they hadn't wanted to use humans. So they made the wrong decision in both directions at each pivotal point in the movie. Like, so, you know, I think a lot of people are going to enjoy it because you're going to get your nostalgia moment, and they were smart enough to give you more flying with Dumbo, and you have some of your iconic moments, and you absolutely have your iconic sound and your the feeling you're supposed to get because it's Danny damn Elfman and he does that thing. Like, I already have soundtrack because I don't need the visuals anymore because I have Danny Elfman's music and I'm going to be good. So all the things that I liked about it are going to be associated with the song. So I'm going to have the moments that I like. And like you said, you can look at Ash's face and you can see what she liked, you right? So for me, that's going to, I don't need to see this again. Somebody just give me a supercut to Dumbo and his mama, Miss Jumbo and Baby Dumbo, from beginning to end, with a little bit of Ava Green tossed in, just because.
Exactly.
It's Ava,
yeah.
It's Ava and I love Ava.
She did a really good job. I mean, and in the second half, even when she came in and you were like, it's this type of character, snobby. Mm-hmm. Even that scene, I was kind of like, okay, there's some comedy here. I'm wondering what they're going to do with her, because I think they did a good job with her for the most part. I think they could have did more, but you know, the film ultimately is what it is. I think it's a good family film for what it is. I hope they do not do a Dumbo 2, because that would completely go against the ending, which I'm sure, I hope PETA is happy, since they raised hell and wanted them to give this film a different ending than the original, understandably. But this should appease everyone.
Yeah.
Who is animal rightist and not necessarily animal leftist or whatever.
Whatever.
What would you guys give out of 10?
But I thought they played those things really well, especially when you got to the second half of the movie after Ava and Michael Keaton's character show up. I mean, they give you the moments, you have those feelings. I felt like there was a lot of themes that we could have played in there. For me, I think the whole thing with Ava and Dumbo works from the moment that they meet and he gets fascinated with her shoes and her tights and her legs.
I mean, she looked flawless in this film. So,
Yeah, but I didn't mean her legs like that. But I mean, they're Ava Green's legs. But what I meant was just like the way they played that character, and there was this moment, it was really cute, and I was like, oh, they're gonna fix it. This is gonna be great. And then, like you said, they didn't give it to me. I was like, well, okay, so this movie's still not what I thought it was gonna be about. That's why I kept saying the majority of the things, if I want to remember about this movie, all I need is the score. I don't need to see the movie again, because there'll be moments at the score that are just going to take me right back to the parts that I really loved about this movie. I don't want to make it seem like all we're going to do is talk about everything that we didn't like, but because there were certain things that I did like. But I will like to say that he still managed to get the song that went with the crows in the hands of Black people in this movie. Did you catch it?
I'm trying to remember what point in the film this was. When did this happen?
The procession into
the circus,
their new home.
Yeah.
Did you see who the band was?
No, I didn't.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I was like, really, Tim, you couldn't fucking resist. But it wasn't offensive. It was probably a little bit more period appropriate to acknowledge that's probably where you would have seen Black people.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it felt like he didn't try to step beyond a stereotype to make them real people.
This is a fantasy film. You don't necessarily have to.
If you're going to say it's 1919 and you're doing all these lovely things that are beautiful, he could have done something not lazy.
Exactly. You don't have to pull straight from American history because it's set in 1919. You can base this in a universe where Black people aren't treated like shit. You can. Like, for that moment, for that one moment where you want to have this angelic entrance into this magnificent mansion of a room. Yes. If that's because, then do it.
This entire world, they're all outsiders. They're already outside the mainstream. That is one thing that The Greatest Showman got right. For as much as they rewrote P.T. Barnum to try to make him seem like he was anything other than trash, when they were talking about the menagerie, quote unquote, and the people who were in his human circuses and freak shows and all that stuff, those were the moments that they got right. They were already outsiders, so they could do these things. They could have these moments that clearly are fantasy and would not happen in the real world. And again, this is where I feel like when it comes to thinking outside of what fits his logic patterns for his real life, Tim Burton doesn't bother. Even in a fantasy. It's why there are no Black people in his movies, usually. It's why there are no substantive three-dimensional Black people in his movie.
Yeah. Again, weird white people still can do racist-y shit.
Thankfully, it didn't feel racist. It just felt lazy.
I don't mean that. I mean with the amount of black people he's had throughout his films and his career. That's what I'm talking about when I say racist. This is actually a pullback to him. I just thought of that. It's a pullback to him working with Alan Arkin again because he was the father in Edward Scissorhands. I just thought of that. I don't know why I didn't make that connection.
Yep. That's how I know you're correct that if he had gone with Alan and had him standing in between Michael Keaton's character and Danny DeVito's character, that part of the script and story could have worked. And that's why I say it's his fault, because that's a director's decision to make that change. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do it. And that could have salvaged the human connections that we weren't getting. Everybody wants us to have this emotional connection to the people and then have them be the one that we follow through the story. And when a director thinks that's the way people are going to connect to it, you get this kind of thing that ends up feeling like a little human mess. And you're right. Every single moment where we were looking through Dumbo's eyes, although can we talk about the fact Dumbo's ass is like real nearsighted? I mean, baby needs some glasses. He's a baby, and baby can't see.
All right. Yes. What would you guys give this film out of 10?
The more I talked, I came in at like a 7.5, but the more I discussed it, I'm sitting at the RT rating of about 6 out of 10, maybe. Because it's a kid's film, I am giving it a curve because it's a kid's film. So I'll do 6 out of 10. Works.
I'm at a 6.5, 7 out of 10. Okay. Just because the moments that really work for me, really, really work for me. The score ups the curve and it's a kid's movie. And I think that some of the things that adults are going to jump out at, it's not going to bother kids and prepubescent teens as much.
No, and it'll get an Oscar nomination for wardrobe.
I hope it does.
Whole circus entrance shit. It'll definitely get one. And for the performances leading up to Dumbo's performance and the way they painted his face for the whole clown stuff, I thought that was dope. Like, even though it wasn't, they made sure that they hit certain beats from the cartoon, but not in necessarily negative connotation that they were presented in the 41 cartoon. So I appreciated that. As well.
Yeah, he avoided everything that makes it difficult to watch the 1941 cartoon and not want to stab somebody. But he preserved the things that worked about those aspects. That's why I said it didn't feel racist-y, it felt lazy. But yeah, I was cute, but it wasn't more than cute. But I do think it's more than some people said that, oh, well, Dumbo's cute. I think it's better than some of the people are giving it credit for. But it was just cute.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, there you guys have it. That is the review for Dumbo. I mean, I guess if it was one, there's a lot of good films coming out. So if you're gonna see it, you got to see it this weekend, because I think the upcoming weeks are gonna be packed full of. I mean, next week we got Shazam and we got Pet Sematary. So yeah, I think you should. If you're gonna go see it, go see it now.
But remember, everybody needs a $5 Tuesday movie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so you got it there. So
I just don't know if it's going to be this, because where are you taking your kids? Your kids in school on a Tuesday, so why are you going to see Dumbo?
Yeah, that's true. You got to make a good point. All right, cool. So this is going to be one of the first MTR shows where I can do this announcement, because I think both of these are going to come out. Both the reviews are going to come out before the mailbag. We added a second show to the DC Avengers Endgame show. Probably viewing, so the movie time is still the same, 12:30 to, I guess at this point, 3:30, 4 o'clock. Well, we split the live show, so those who bought their tickets for the live show, the first one, I believe that starts at 4:30 going to 5:45, and then those who bought the movie ticket only, or at this point now we have the second show up there, it's from 6:15 to 7:30, I believe those are the times.
That's the time.
Right, so your ticket will tell you what time of the live show you can go to see there. So now everybody can get to, if you get the tickets, everybody who gets a ticket will be able to come in and see us at one of the live shows. The live show that's on your ticket. You can go to the one and then go to the other one. So the tickets are on the sale. Go to ingame.mtrnetwork.net for those. And the LA show, too, we still get tickets to that as well. So if you're on the West Coast and you want to hang out with, you know, Ro or Shanna. And a matter of fact, I think Shanna's going to do a Instagram post on this, but I just got, we got some gifts that we're going to hand out during both the LA show and the DC show. So I'll let Shanna, you know, post the pictures. I was going to post them, then I realized I think she's going to do it. So if you come out, everybody who buys the tickets get something from us anyway, in addition to not only just hanging out with us and getting a live show and the movie, but then you also get a gift on top of that because we love you guys so much. So, so come out, get your tickets. The tickets are still on sale, and we look forward to seeing everybody there at one of those live shows. So come out and do that. Is there anything else I'm going to say?
There may be extra swag for the LA show if I can manage to pull it off.
See, extra swag. Extra swag, folks. Extra swag. So, and the other thing, too, is stay tuned and keep an eye on the MTR Network page and the Comic-Con Central page. Ro is heading out to WonderCon, and she's already got 3 articles up now, and we got plenty more stuff coming out. So we're going to have some WonderCon coverage coming out soon this weekend. So keep your eyes open for the page, what we're going to do with there. So,
pray for my feet.
Yeah. So, all right, folks, thank you guys very much for listening, and make sure you subscribe, Movie Trailer Reviews, and until next time, we are out of here. Peace.